over the years and centuries, many have commented that the Bible, and we hear this especially from the Muslims, they said that the Bible's been corrupted. In fact, I was on a Muslim website earlier today and that was talking about ancient manuscripts, and they said how they're all corrupted and everything. They obviously don't know what they're talking about, but that's the word that's out there. The word that we have, and people say the word that we have in our hands, do not reflect what the authors originally said. The charge is the fact that when the original was made and it only lasted a few years, and you made a copy, and then you made a copy of a copy and a copy of a copy of a copy, and you know, you played telephone when you were a kid, you know, whispering to somebody's ear, and you go around and okay, what was the word when we get all the way to the end and it's something completely different than what has started? Well, they said the same thing. Essentially, the same thing has gone on with the Bible, and we have been corrupted over the centuries. So, in short, what as we looked at in science and the Bible, that the Bible could be trusted in all it says, but in short, we're going to look at, does our Bible accurately reflect what the original authors wrote? We're going to look primarily at the New Testament tonight. The Old Testament is another study, but I'll say this much about the Old Testament. When the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls back in the years of 46 to 56, and that time frame when most of the Dead Sea Scrolls were uncovered and they examined them, they found that there is remarkably very few and changes between what they had and what we have today, and most of those differences were insignificant, dealing with spellings and word order, and essentially the Old Testament was very faithfully preserved over the years, and it verified the reliability of our Old Testament. So tonight we're going to be looking at some of the ancient manuscripts from the New Testament. And in particular, we're going to look at just a couple from the four Gospels. And the question we'll be asking is, can we trust them to be accurate, to accurately portray what was in the originals? Now, I want to start off with some vocabulary. Some of the words that we'll be using tonight is the word autograph. Now, you think of an autograph of somebody signing it. But the word autograph in the Greek indicates an original manuscript, an original that not necessarily the author wrote, but his manuscript, he had a writer, a scribe that wrote it for him, and he signed it at the end. And I'm going to be talking about some of the letters of Paul, where Paul says at the end of the letters, he'll say, "See these big letters I am writing with my own hand." Well, that means now it's him and not the scribe writing. So we can identify the autographs. So the autographs, we use that word original and autographs interchangeably. The other word I'm not going to use so much, but a word that you need to be aware of, a word as we look at the different manuscripts that are out there, is a term called textual criticism. This is not the same as literal criticism. Literal criticism is where you take a text and you try to determine the motive of the writer, and did the writer really know what he was writing about, and you analyze the writing itself and the author, and there have been some of that with New Testament writing, and most of it has been pretty destructive. But textual criticism, that word criticism means you come and you examine all the evidence, and from all the evidence that's been given, how does it stack up against what the original said? Now, we don't have the originals, but we can come pretty close and we can see some of the variances. So the various manuscripts that are out there, they're very closely compared with other manuscripts and other copies to determine whether or not they accurately were copied and they accurately reflect. And it's a very diligent process. Some of the questions that we'll be asking tonight And some of the obvious questions, and one obvious question is, how old is our earliest copies? In other words, how close to the original, how close to the autographs do some of our copies come? Our earliest copy, and we're going to be talking about this in a minute, and a little bit, but it was in the picture on the title slide, was as close as 30 to 40 years after the original, after the autograph had been taken. Other later copies, and most of these copies that are just those in that first or second century, most of them that we have are fragments. They're bits and pieces. And as we get later out, as we get 200 to 300 years removed, we start getting to have our whole books and complete copies of entire books. Now, understand, we don't have, we don't get our complete Bible. We don't find a whole Bible until after into the late 4th century and into the 5th century. That's because the Bible hadn't been put together. It was circulated as individual letters and individual books prior to that time. But I'm going to be talking about some exceptions to that here in a moment. So how old is our old earliest copies? How good are the copies? How good are they? In other words, how careful were the scribes in copying? Were they competent or were they sloppy? We're going to look at those and answer some of those questions. Now, a question that is not very obvious, but it is worth asking, is how many autographs are there? How many originals? You would think we have 27 books of the Old Testament. You would think we would have, there would have been at one time 27 originals. Well, the answer will surprise you, but as we get into it, most of the copies of the letters written and of the books written, usually there were at least two, and with some of the letters, sometimes three or four originals, signatures, autographs of the original. And there were reasons for it, and we'll talk about those in just a few minutes here. And then another question concerning the original, concerning the autographs, were how long did the autographs circulate? In other words, how long did they last? Did they last 10 years? Did they last 20 years? Here again, the answers, as they're looking into it, may surprise you, and that verifies how reliable our scriptures are today. And then, and what we're going to start with now is how many copies do we have for comparison? How many copies do we have? How many different copies? First of all, right off the bat, there are over 5,800 handwritten Greek manuscripts. And this is all handwritten manuscripts, at least up until the time of the printing press. The Gutenberg press came out in the mid-1400s. In the mid-1400s, prior to the printing press, everything had to be copied by hand. Now, of these 5,800, these are Greek manuscripts that we're talking about, and I'll be talking about translations here in a little bit. But of these 5,800, most of them are from the Middle Ages. Most are from the Middle Ages. But we have a few hundred that reach back to really old dates, great antiquity. And in fact, we have about 48 manuscripts, and most of these that are incomplete, that date back to the year AD 300 and earlier. Now, we look at the New Testament, and most of the Gospels were probably written in the time frame of in the first century, mid-first century, somewhere between 50, 60, 70 AD, in that time frame. So when we're talking about manuscripts that go back, say, in the mid-third century, that would be around 250, we're only talking 200 years removed from the originals, 200 years removed from the originals. And to these dates, and it's important to see how close they are to the originals, because that would indicate how much variances there may be between the originals. Next question would be, is what is their quality? How good are they? What is their quality? And that's a question we must ask. You see, especially when we get some of these very old fragments that go back to within 100, 150 years of the originals, how good are they? And actually, when we look at them, and we're going to look at a couple of copies here in a minute, we find that they are neatly copied. It wasn't somebody who scribbled down. We find that the letters are written very legibly. They're written in lines. They were written in margins are left on the paper. And on the whole, they are very neatly done. And then with these small fragments that we find that there are textual agreement. That means when we compare even these small fragments with other copies, we find that they agree word for word, spelling for spelling, for the most part. There's textual agreement. There is no radical difference between them and even some of the later copies. And that indicates that we have a very stabilized textual tradition. In other words, they copied it word for word. The language was not always updated. You know, we look at our language, we look at the English language, and consider that the English language had changed. An easy look at that is 400 years ago when the King James Bible came out. You know, we have trouble reading the King James today because the English 400 years ago is different than the English that we have today. But when we're looking at these Greek manuscripts over several hundred years, and we find that they are very stable. The language is not updated. They kept the language the same. And the other thing we find is that they are of good quality. Good quality. In other words, we look at secular texts, secular copies of other texts of the same time frame, and they compare very favorably with them. Now let's look at the dates of some of the earliest manuscripts, and the one that you've seen already is that one. It's called Fragment or Papyrus 52. They assign numbers to all the different fragments that they find, and pieces and codexes and things that they find. But P52 is arguably the oldest piece of the Bible that we have. Actually, it's only a little bit bigger than a postage stamp, than a large postage stamp. And we find it written on both sides. So when you're looking at it there, you're seeing the front side and the back side. So when it's written on both sides, it means it didn't come out of a scroll. It came out of a codex. Codex is just simply another word for book form. They put in leaves and they bind it on one side. So when you turn the page over, you can write on both sides. And this comes from John chapter 18, beginning on the front side in verse 32, and then continues later in John on the back side of it. And the value of this, and what's important with this, is that you can see that it's all written very in straight lines. You can see that the letters are very distinct. You can determine each and every letter, and everything is lined up, and they have an equal margin. See the margin up at the top. And so it was indicated that it would have been copied by a professional. Most would agree that this particular fragment dates somewhere before AD 150. And considering, and some think it may be as early as 120. And when we consider the book of John, most scholars believe that John was written in the time frame around 90 AD. So we're only talking 30 years, 30, possibly 50 years after the original that this copy had come. Now, we compare P52 of others writings of that era, and we find that the writing style is comparable, is of equal quality. And the point here that we need to make is especially considered that Christianity in this time frame was an illegal religion. There were persecution in some places, but scribes, those that copied, took their time. They did it correctly. It wasn't rushed. And so the scribes weren't poorly trained. They weren't incompetent. And that the early copies were accurate and they were reliable. Another copy that we have out there is P64. Now, this is several different fragments. It contains portions from Matthew 26, and they date this somewhere between 170 and 180 A.D. And so that's a little over 100 years from the original. And this is another that they look at, and we can see a similar sorts of thing here, that everything is in line, it's of the letters of equal size, that sort of thing. So it was a quality work done by a trained scribe. So the question has to be asked, though, when we look at these things, and as we get further away from the original, we get larger and larger copies, and we get some of the copies contain mostly of a whole book or of a whole letter, and so they're more complete copies as we get further away from the originals. But the question I want to look at is, how does the New Testament, with the copies that we have, how does it compare to other works that are out there? You understand that we have numerous manuscripts. Some are very old and reliably copied, but how do they compare with other ancient secular manuscripts of the same time frame? Let's look at a few of them. One copy or one writing that we know of is Julius Caesar's Gallic War. Julius Caesar wrote that somewhere around 58 to 50 BC. So, you know, this is 100 years maybe before our New Testament. He wrote it in that time frame. And obviously anything written by Julius Caesar is very valuable. We want to hang on to. But the earliest copy of this writing, the earliest copy is from A.D. 850. Now, according to my math, that's about 900 years difference. 900 years from the original. The original was in 50 B.C. The earliest copy, or the oldest copy that we have available to it, is 850 A.D. 900 years removed from the original. Then there is Livy's Roman History. Now, I had to look up some of these because I'm not quite familiar with some of them, but to scholars that deal with ancient manuscripts, apparently they're very familiar with some of these. Livy's Roman History, he lived about the turn of the B.C. to A.D. in that time frame, from 59 B.C. to about 17 A.D. And so he wrote Roman History, and we only have about a third of it, only a third, bits and pieces. So we know there are big gaps in the manuscripts that we have. And so our oldest manuscripts, which contains parts of book 3, 4, 5, and 6, the oldest manuscript dates back to 350 A.D. In other words, about at least 300 years removed. 300 years removed from the original, and we only have a third of it. We don't even have the whole thing available. We can tell we're missing two-thirds because of the gaps that we have. And then there is Tacitus, Annals in History. He's the author of Annals in History. He wrote somewhere between 110 and 115 A.D. The oldest manuscripts that we have on this is from the 9th. in 11th century. We have some minor works around the 10th century. In other words, the earliest manuscripts we have of these writings is 800 years removed from the original. Two more. Don't hold me to these pronunciations. Tacitus and Herodotus. They both wrote histories. They were Greek history writers. They were 4th and 5th century B.C. 4th and 5th century B.C. And the earliest that we have their writings, our oldest manuscripts, date about A.D. 900. So if you look at when those things were written, we got about 1,400 years removed from the originals. So what do we have with these classical secular works? We have a weak manuscript tradition, certainly compared to the New Testament manuscript tradition. The manuscripts are late and there are few in number. Now, here's the key. I want you to hang on to this. Yet no classical historian doubts the reliability of these manuscripts. None of them are in doubt. Okay? Here, we're talking about manuscripts from the New Testament that may be 100, 200, 300 years removed, and there are people who want to doubt the manuscripts. And there are many, many fragments, many copies, and as we get 300 and 400 years removed, we got entire copies of entire books and letters. And so they don't doubt the accuracy, they don't doubt the reliability of what they have. So compare our New Testament to what we have of that. And so when we look at all of the different pieces that are out there and we diligently compare and diligently compare each of them and do reconstruction, we can come, most scholars are 99% certain that we've got 99% of what's in the New Testament. And I'll come up with some figures in a minute. But let's look at the manuscripts themselves. How long do the manuscripts last? How long do the manuscripts last? Now, this is a very important question, because if we look at some of the perishable materials that they use to write on, and we say, let's say they only last 10 or 20 years, and that means we got to make a copy every 10 and 20 years, that means in 150 years we'll have 12, 15 copies of a copy of a copy of a copy. We're back to our telephone game here again. When the studies were done, and they looked at libraries in the ancient world, and it's interesting, they had 53 libraries from antiquity that they looked at. That means they've uncovered in the desert, they've uncovered in a cave, they've uncovered different places, entire libraries of not just simply bits and pieces of business notes and those sort of things. We're talking of literature and that sort of thing. They have discovered that when they look at some of these libraries from 2,000 years ago at any rate, and in this time frame, most of the time they have found that a manuscript belonging to a single work of literature would last anywhere from 150 to 500 years. Most of them were in the 200 to 300 year regime. A manuscript would last, think of this, 150 to 500 years. What is the implication for New Testament manuscripts? What is the implication for a New Testament manuscripts? That means if we look at the original Matthew, say written around 50 AD, it could have been in circulation say 150 years later. 150 years later, that would put it in circulation at least to 200 AD. 200 AD. and we've got copies. This is P45 that you have the picture up here. This was done around AD 220, and it's got portions of all four Gospels in it. It's not the complete Gospel on all four, but it's got portions from all of them. That means that all of those originals would have still been in circulation when this scribe made this copy. Now, whether or not he copied straight from the original, but understand, if the original was still in circulation, the copies that would be out there are still held to the standards of the original. So the original or portions of this could have been copied from the original. So you understand that the originals were still out there. And the fact is, we may have had originals lasting right up into the 3rd century. 3rd century is 200 to 300 A.D. That's a long time. That's a lot of time that people could make copies from them. Reasons for the longevity. One thing is there were the durable materials that they used. The materials for papyrus, if properly cared for, can last for hundreds and hundreds of years. Animal skins could last for 100 years. Now, they're going to deteriorate over time, but if they're properly cared for, they can last a long time. Parchment and vellum, they can last if they're properly cared for. Another factor is the practice of the scribes. Let's look at Qumran for a second. Qumran. Qumran is where the Dead Sea Scrolls came from. There were over 200 scrolls found, and understand what happened in Qumran, especially if we look at the Jewish history, somewhere around 70 AD, that was when Jerusalem was destroyed, when the Roman army came in and they destroyed everything in Israel. Qumran shut down. It was full of folks that we thought maybe John the Baptist might have been a part of a sect from. But they shut down, they hid all of the libraries that they had. We're talking 200 Bible scrolls. And so they hid them in the caves and everything. And at that point in time, when they were hidden, some were already 200 and 300 years old. In other words, when we uncovered the Dead Sea Scrolls, we weren't talking 2,000-year-old scrolls. We were probably talking 2,200, 2,300-year-old scrolls. They were already several hundred years old when they were hidden. And so that kind of gives us an idea how long things were. You see, books were very valuable, and they were very carefully taken care of. Let's look at the practice of early Christians. What about the early Christians themselves? We look at some of the great codexes and some of the things that were out there from Vaticanus, which dates early to the 4th century. That's the 300 to 400 A.D. And Sinaiticus, I hear again, what? Yeah, that guy. Okay, that guy. Also dates to the early 4th century. They were used for hundreds of years, manuscripts, because as they looked at them, some of the manuscripts, as they reached 500 years old, the ink had faded, and they re-inked them. You know, you can see the letters, so you copied over the letters. They re-inked them, and the manuscripts were good for another couple hundred years. So the manuscripts lasted a long time. We have evidence from early church fathers, Tertullian, writing around the year 190. He had a book that he wrote called Prescription Against the Heretics. And in chapter 36, he complains. Now, their chapters were generally pretty small. And so we don't, they're not, don't think of chapters like we do. But in this book that he wrote, he is complaining against heretics who mutilated the text. And he says in there, he says essentially, if you do not believe me, then check out the autograph, the word that was used, the autograph of Paul's letter. And he says you can mention a few of the letters. He mentions by name. He says you can find them in Hierapolis in Asia Minor. You can find them. This was meaning the originals was still around. If you don't believe me, check out the originals. Check out the autographs. And actually, Tertullian was writing in Latin at that time, and things were moving to Latin. Around 300 and so A.D., the New Testament, as we understand it, was translated into Latin by a guy by the name of Jerome, and that was the basis of what we call the Vulgate, what the Catholics use for their main text. But the word that he was using was the word authenticate. And in that word, in the Latin, that we get our word authentication, or to authenticate, an authentic work is referring to. In fact, some people thought that in the Greek he couldn't necessarily mean the autographs, but it talked about the original. And they said, well, you must mean an original copy. Well, I don't know how you can have an original copy, but they said it's very possible he very much meant the actual copy of Paul's letter at that time and place. He said, go back and check the original if you don't believe me. Another guy by name of Bishop Peter, another bishop writing in the early 4th century, he said the same thing about the Gospel of John, that the original can still be seen at Ephesus. Early 4th century, that's 300 and some. That's at least 200 plus years removed from the original. But the original was still available. And so when we're talking about these original letters of Paul, the original Gospels, that they would have been, understand, these originals, these autographs would have been very precious to these early Christians. They would have taken great effort to care for them. But a major point that I need to make here, that you need to understand, that as long as the originals existed, they would have been copied. Okay, so in other words, we don't have copies of copies of copies. We have copies made over the centuries from the same original. From the same original. And so that the integrity of the scripts of those times, the integrity of the scripts of those times would have been there. They would not simply influence just the first copies, but the fact that the originals were there kept even the copies of copies honest, because they can always go back and compare. So there was no wild fluctuation, no changes, no subtractions, no additions, but they were very reliable and very stable. Now, concerning the autographs, concerning the originals, how many originals were there of any given book, of any given letter? You would think, like I said, if we had 27 books in the Bible, in the New Testament, we would have 27 originals. But when letters were written, usually letters or the books were written, they were written by a scribe. And before they were sent out, they would make their corrections, and then they would make a new original that would be sent out. And they would have the old original that they would retain for their records, for my copy, so I know what I sent you. So there would be two copies or two autographs. So there were multiple autographs. When a copy would be retained, at the very least, there would be two. And when we say autographs, that means there would be two that the original author would put his pen to paper and write, sent out by the sender. And if they, the two different autographs might not have been exactly like one another, but they would have been very close. They would have been very close. And then when we look at letters, letters by their very nature were circular letters. When Paul wrote his letters to, like, to the Ephesians, knowing it was going to be circulated, he wrote to them and then he made a copy. And when he sent the letters, he could have very easily sent out several letters identical to one another, keeping a copy for himself. So there could have been as many as three and four autographs of these early letters. And that means the chance of an autograph surviving 150, 200, 250 years is greatly increased. Greatly increased. Something would have lasted a little longer. There might have been one that got lost, but there's another copy someplace. And so we had redundancy, the chances of survival, and then the letters themselves and the books themselves of the Gospels were in circulation for quite a long time. And then we look at the practice of ancient scholarship. Now, when they looked at these 53 libraries, and this study, by the way, was done not too long ago, we're talking 2009, looking at these libraries, the study showed that the manuscripts that they collected, compared, corrected, circulated, interpreted, and read publicly, in other words, they had a scholarly use of the manuscripts. They made commentaries on the manuscripts. In other words, this is what I think, and this is how it compares with other works. We got commentaries today. They did. Why do we think it was any different 2,000 years ago? That New Testament scholarship would have been very similar to the secular scholarship. People read the letters, and because these are very closely guarded works, they kept them very close hold, and they studied them. And they compare diligently with other letters and with other with other books of similar subjects. So we a lot was written on them, and I'm going to talk about commentaries here in a minute, which is interesting. Now the question that we also have is: can the originals be recovered? Well, I was thinking on this. The thing is, we actually have other autographs, secular works. Some of these libraries, as I mentioned, they have discovered the originals in some places. And so could we have the original of some of Paul's letters? Some of these libraries were found in Egypt, in deep in the sands. And understand, Egypt had a climate that was very dry and very austere, where most of the letters, in fact, some of the original fragments that they got, it's interesting, they picked them up in Egypt, in places of a very dry climate. But where the originals circulated, think about letters to Ephesus. It was circulated in more humid and more temperate climates. So the odds are they probably would not have lasted quite as long. Not as long as 2,000 years sitting in the desert buried in a sealed jar. Probably not. I don't think we'll ever recover a Pauline autograph. But if we do, we can certainly easily identify it. And the way we would do it is we would see that the handwriting would change. Oftentimes the greetings in the letter would be done by the author's own handwriting. And we see the handwriting because sometimes it gets sloppy and it gets off track and it gets in big letters or it's misspelled. And even Paul mentioned a couple of times, he says, "See how I'm writing in my own hand." And I've got a number of examples. 2 Thessalonians 3:17, "The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign of every epistle, so I write." In Romans 16:22, it says, "I, Tertullus, who wrote this epistle greets you in the Lord. So we know who wrote that one. 1 Corinthians 16:21, the salutation with my own hand, Paul's. Philemon 19. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me, even your own self besides. There, we can tell because if we got an original, all of a sudden the script would change. They would use a different font, we would say. But we could tell a difference in handwritings. Early translations of the New Testament. As I had mentioned, we know that they were translated in the different languages early on. We know that there was the complete Latin Bible by around 350 A.D. And so not only do we have 5,800 handwritten pre-Gutenberg Bibles, but we also have some 10,000 Latin translations, 10,000s that were only several centuries removed from the originals. It's easy when you go back and you compare. Sometimes when I was looking at Old Testament writings and how do they compare, I mentioned it this morning. Remember, we had the Septuagint that was translated somewhere around 250-300 B.C., and so we can look at the Greek that's in the Septuagint and have an understanding of what was meant when we translate back into Hebrew. And we can see a lot of things that way. What was the thinking of the day of how they, when they translated? What did the words mean? And we can tell when we translate. Even in our Bibles today, in fact, I may have a class later on, and there's been some discussion about that, talking about why is our different translations different. And understand, when we translate from one language into another, a lot of languages do not translate word for word. So there's interpretation that goes involved. And so when we look at these early translations and understand as they go into the Latin, we can reflect back on the original Greek and say this is what they were thinking this Greek word really meant when we translated. So we look at that. We have 10,000 Latin translations that are early, as well as translation in Syriac, Georgian, Coptic, and Ethiopic. And so we've got a total of about 25,000 old copies of the New Testament. 25,000. And they all compare favorably. Now, there's some scholarship that goes in. There are some, undoubtedly, there are some that were copied sloppily, and they can pick them out. They can pick out errors. In fact, the study that I was doing, they mentioned some that were errors. Obviously, this guy is writing by memory because he left out something. And it was written sloppied, and it wasn't, you know, he must have been writing notes for himself or something. But they can pick out. But the ones that were, they can pick out the ones that were professionally done, and they can see that the textual integrity was there between the different copies. And in fact, the comment that was made that is, even if we were to lose all of these old manuscripts, we were to lose them all, and all we were to do is go back and look at the commentaries that were made. Anybody ever read through a commentary? Don't they repeat the Bible in there? Here's a verse, and then you go for three pages on what it means, you know, and that sort of thing. But the Bible's repeated in the commentary. Commentaries were the same way back then. We can go to the commentaries. The patristic quotation and commentaries. Okay, next slide. Thank you. We can look in these commentaries, and we can pretty near reconstruct an entire New Testament based upon the commentaries that are out there. And so without a doubt, the New Testament is the best attested book from antiquity. In fact, the fact is, there's not even a close second. Nothing else compares with the accuracy of our New Testament. So in conclusion, the Bible manuscripts were early, they are numerous, and they're available not just in Greek, but also in the original languages, but in several languages. And the manuscripts were accurate. And so as we look at these manuscripts and we compare them with other non-Christian manuscripts in tradition, there is no comparison. And of the 20,000 lines in the Greek New Testament, 20,000 lines, there's only 40 in doubt. And none of those lines has any major doctrine or any major thing that we can hang on to. And I can pick out some of those. Understand there are some verses in our King James that's not in our NIVs and some of our others. And you'll find all of these verses that there's questions about when you open your Bibles and you read the translation footnotes that are in them. Pay attention to the footnotes. I'm not talking your study Bibles that has all the study items in it, but the translation notes from the text itself. And all of these are covered. And so what we have in the New Testament and what we have in our Bibles, we can rest assured that it is very close to the original. And then let's not discount God's hand in all of this. God preserves His Word. We've got evidence of it. We have proof of it. And even these couple of verses and couple of lines that we're not sure about, it's close enough. And as far as the Lord preserves His Word, we can trust what we had. We talked about in science and the Bible and that we can trust what's written in it, but the fact is we can trust that what we have in our hands today, and talking about modern translations, that's a whole nother session, but what we have in our day, what we have today is accurate. It reflects accurately to what was originally written, and God preserves His Word. Any questions? I know this was very academic, but it's important for us to understand what we have in our hands is reliable. Don't let anybody buffalo you and say it has been corrupted over the centuries. No, it hasn't. There is no other work that compares with the Bible. None other anywhere in history that compares with the accuracy and the stableness of the text throughout history. Anything to add? That's a lot of study on my part, by the way. So if you see me referring to my notes a lot, that's why. I don't have this memorized, but it takes a lot. And one thing I'm hoping to do, maybe January, February, I do want to have a class talking about translation. Do we have different translations? What are different about them? How do we compare them? And these sorts of things. And so we need to be smart about the Bibles that we read. We need to be smart about them. But I'll save that for another time. Let me go ahead and close this in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank You for Your Word. You have revealed Yourself to us through Your Word. And we know that Your Word can be trusted. We know that the Word that we held in our hands is accurate and reflects accurately to what the original authors wrote, the ones that You inspired to put pen to paper. And Lord, that what we have today is more than adequate to reveal You and to tell us of salvation so that we might see Jesus. Even Jesus said that all the Word speaks of Him. Lord, may we see Jesus every time we open Your Word. And that, Lord, when we open Your Word And as we read it, as we apply it to our lives, that we might glorify Jesus in all that we say and do. Watch over us, protect us as we go our different ways. And Lord, we just help us keep our eyes on You. And help us be the witnesses that You have called us to be in a lost and dying world all around us. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Amen. And God bless you all. Y'all have a great week. Have a great week.